Good morning, everyone. It is Saturday, November 4th, 2017, and this might be the first weekend edition of the Packers podcast, thanks to a Monday night game upcoming between the Green Bay Packers and the Detroit Lions. My name is Michael Cohen, and I'm here, as always, with fellow beat reporter Tom Silverstein. Well, we've made it through another week.
Yeah.
And we're relatively healthy heading into Monday. So I guess the big news coming out of this week was that Aaron Rodgers spoke to the media for the first time since going down against the Vikings.
And you were there for every word.
Every word.
I was over on the other side of the locker room doing extremely important work interviewing Jason Spriggs and Derek Hart and who else?
Montrevious Adams.
That was the other day.
Okay.
Today, Morgan Burnett.
Lots of important stuff.
Oh, tons of them. But I missed Donatella Brown. Darn it.
Might as well not have come to work today,
I
Tom.
I know, really.
So Rodgers spoke for about 16 minutes.
Yeah, and fill us in on that. Tell us what he had to say. What were the most important
points? He hit on a number of things. First, I guess the biggest takeaway for me was that he is being very selective and very cautious in his words about whether or not he's going to play again this season. And I don't know if I necessarily expected him to be more gung-ho, but it was very obvious that he was not gung-ho in terms of saying, I'll definitely be back this year, and I'm going to come back with 3 weeks left or 2 weeks left or whatever. Instead, he was pretty cautious, and he basically said that unless the bone is 100% healed, the collarbone, there's no chance he's coming back. So he's not going to push it and try and fight through if it's not all the way there yet. And then he also said that if the bone is all the way healed, at that point they'll have a discussion about whether or not he's going to come back. Mm. So it's not even the situation where he was going to say, if it's healed, I'm definitely playing. Instead it was, if it's healed, we're going to talk about whether it makes sense for me to play, and then we'll decide from there. So based on all of that and everything he sort of said and reading between the lines, I kind of got the sense that it's a little less likely that he plays than if he comes back, which I don't know if I would have said that a week ago. What do you think? Do you think we see him again?
Well, I'll give you my translator edition of what it was that he said.
As I chow down on goldfish here.
Yeah. Basically, what he said, in my opinion, is I'm not coming back this year unless we got a chance to win the Super Bowl. We're close. I'm completely healed. You know, it's slim. It's slim to none. I mean, if you really think about it, they have a potential Super Bowl team with him healthy, but, you know, the chances of him being 100% by the time they get to a point where they're any good, you know, it's going to be a miracle. And if I'm him, I also don't want to risk my future. I don't want to break that thing again. And just wait till next year. It'll be better. It'll be better then. You're probably going to have to chase the Super Bowl through a wild card. And while they did that anyways in 2010, it just doesn't sound right. So my meter goes up and says he ain't coming back.
He had one quote that I thought was particularly interesting, and I don't have the transcript in front of me, but he was essentially asked that this is now two of these collarbone injuries in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have to change your style at all
to
avoid some of this? And he paused for a really long time, and he said, good question. He said, the short answer that comes to mind is no, but maybe that's something that I need to think about over these next few weeks while I have a lot of time on my hands. And, you know, he kind of laughed and smirked a little bit when he said it, but I think the point is a valid one.
Yeah. Alex Van Pelt, the quarterback's coach, was asked about that. And he said, he's got to avoid taking hits. There's some plays that are worth making and there's some that aren't. The play in Minnesota should have been a big play. That risk is always going to be there. I just don't think you can take that away from Rodgers. Yeah, you could stick him in the pocket. He could be Tom Brady. But I think, why do you want to? He's been hurt twice on hits in his career. And we're talking about, 9th year as a starter. That's not too bad. I just think he just has to be a little bit smarter about it and not put himself at quite as much risk. Throw that ball away.
In terms of the injury itself, he described it as significantly different than his injury in 2013 when he broke the left collarbone, and also more intense. Those were the phrases that he used. He said that the surgery was performed out in California at a place that he chose after a couple days of research and some general recommendations from team doctor Patrick McKenzie. He wouldn't say exactly.
One of those places on Venice Beach where they're always asking me to come in and get my medical card, if you know what I mean.
I don't know
Maybe
about
they
that.
Do that, you know.
So
I've been there. I'm just saying. You know.
So Rogers had the procedure in California. They inserted one plate and an unspecified number of screws. He wouldn't comment on it after, you know, he said 13 on TV and everyone took that to the bank. And he said everyone was confident with the way the procedure turned out and that they don't see any risk for long-term injury. Now that he's back in Green Bay, realistically, can he be that much of a resource to Brett Hundley, or is that an angle that is perceived but not actual reality?
It's a little overplayed. There's only so much he can do. I mean, where it really comes, I think what he could do is identify tendencies that he knows. But a lot of those are what McCarthy and his coaches know, too. Alex Van Pelt knows those same things. They study it just as hard. There might be a few things where maybe Rogers says, you know, Nelson likes the ball here, or we've hit this play before, you know, kind of ad-libbed here or ad-libbed there. But, you know, Brett Hundley has to be his own guy, too. And he has to – sometimes you got to learn the hard way. I think Rogers will be there. I think game day he might be of some help.
That was going to be my next question, is what type of a resource can he be during the course of a game? Because I sort of envision that as an opportunity where, you know, Rogers could see something on the tablets that, you know, says something different to him maybe than Hundley, or he can see that – you know, Darius Slay, a guy that he's played against a number of times, is doing X, so why don't they go with this?
Yeah. Or he sees a guy who's hurt, or he sees a route that a guy's not playing very well. Those are things Hundley can't see, and those are things that Rogers could identify. So I think that's where he could help him the most.
In terms of the actual hit itself, he was asked if, you know, now that he's had some time to reflect what he thought of it, and he said that it was deemed legal by the NFL, which we all know at this point, but in his opinion, a nice two-handed shove could have done the trick rather than, you know, a tackle all the way to the ground. So in this setting, at least, Rogers took the diplomatic approach to it after kind of taking a little shot at Barr on the Conan O'Brien show.
Yeah, I think that will never be resolved, and I remember he had sort of the same hard feelings of Shea McClellan, who broke his other collarbone because he put all his weight on him. Well, you know, that's part of the game, you know.
Well, I think that pretty much covers the Rogers portion of Friday at Lambeau Field. So let's talk a little bit about some of the matchups that we are going to see Monday night when the Detroit Lions come to town for a divisional game, a very important divisional game, as the Packers already trail the Vikings, and if they were to lose this game, they would be tied with the Lions as well at 4-4.
Yeah, and the Lions have lost three straight.
Yes, so it's been a rough stretch for them as well. Where do you want to start, Lions offense or Lions defense?
Let's start on with their offense.
And what jumps out to you first?
The fact that they had 482 yards and not a touchdown against Pittsburgh, which is just amazing. Their red zone was terrible. And I thought I'm not one to criticize play calling, but I thought they made a couple mistakes. I thought on one of those, they should have kicked a field goal. It was just obvious they needed to kick a field goal, and they didn't. Matthew Stafford is having a very good year. Let me look what his stats are here. 12 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. That's pretty darn good. 60% completion rate. He's taken a lot of sacks, 25. But all in all, they're still pretty good. They're still pretty prolific. I think they're regularly going to put up 300 yards. You can expect that. It's just whether you can contain them and keep them out of the end zone. You know, their receivers have 5 touchdowns, which isn't a ton. Everything else goes to backs and tight ends. So the Packers have to, defensively, they have to get pressure on Stafford. They got to take advantage of the left tackle position and the left guard position. I was watching the game against Pittsburgh, and there were some plays where Graham Glasgow just got blasted into the next week. Swanson had some problems once in a while, too. Now, Pittsburgh's a really physical defense, and, you know, they came to play that day. So I don't know if the Packers can have that same success, but it starts there. They've got to have some kind of rush on Stafford.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that game as well. And for all the issues that Detroit had in the red zone, and there were a number of them, I thought that the red zone defense, too, was just terrific. I mean, the tackles that some of those Steeler linebackers and linemen made in the hole near the goal line were just to smash running plays were impressive. But I sort of agree that, you know, this Lions team is going to be able to move the ball up and down the field. It's just a matter of, is it going to be 3 or 7 when they get into certain situations? And don't forget, you know, their kicker, Matt Prater, is one of the best in the league.
Yeah.
They just extended his contract again, I think, earlier this season. I think he's 5 of 7 beyond 50 yards or 7 of 9, something like that. And so they're going to be able to score in that regard. When I look at the offense for the Lions, I see, you know, a couple skill guys that I wonder how the Packers are going to match up with them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one thing that we've talked about a lot on this podcast are broken tackles allowed by the secondary of this defense. And if there's a guy that is going to break tackles, it's going to be Golden Tate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a guy that is built like a running back, makes guys miss like a running back, and can really cause some damage. And then on the flip side of that, you know, I wonder if potentially a guy like Theo Riddick could pose some problems. He's caused them some difficulty in the past. He's not having a great season this year. But I can't remember if it was last season or my first year here, where they put him in the slot a lot, and that really caused some problems for Joe Thomas and the inside backers. And that can be a tough matchup for Blake Martinez.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, it could wind up being Morgan Burnett.
Very true.
I think what I really want to see is how the Packers, what personnel they play. Now, I'm pretty sure they're going to go nitro a lot because Ameer Abdullah isn't a power back that you slam down their throat. I mean, he wants to be, but he's still, you know, 5'8 or 9 or whatever and 200 pounds. So I think we'll see Burnett playing nitro almost the entire game. And when he doesn't, they'll put him in the nickel, you know, in the slot position and bring Josh Jones in. I think we're going to see Josh Jones on the field a lot, too.
At safety?
I think instead
of Bryce.
Yes.
Over Marwin Evans.
Over Marwin Evans, yes. And then, like I said, I think you'll see a lot of situations where Burnett and Jones are on the field together up near the line of scrimmage. I think that gives the Packers it gives them the capability of covering those backs, covering the tight end, and still being able to get some rush. So I'm kind of interested to see how they play that.
Do you think that Morgan Burnett will draw the seemingly weekly tight end Eric Ebron assignment that he has been drawing, if I can learn how to speak English?
Yeah, and Daniel Fells don't write him off either. He's a big tight end who's caught a couple of touchdowns recently. Burnett will do that. I think, you know, it's possible that Capers will, because he'll have Burnett and Jones up at the line, he might just blitz a lot. He might just say, okay, you know, Golden Tate isn't going to beat me deep. He's gonna beat me short and try to do some, you know, run after the catch. Marvin Jones can beat them deep, but, you know, they can put a double on him.
As long as it's not Josh Hawkins.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I would put King on him and match up with him. I think that's probably their best matchup. But, you know, if House is there, he played a pretty good game in his last game. And if they can get him to play like that, like he played against New Orleans, then they got a chance. I mean, then their defense has got a chance to slow this thing down.
We mentioned Kentrell Bryce briefly, and that was as a result of a roster move, a couple of them on Friday. You wrote about it. Why don't you just summarize those real quick for people who might not have seen it?
Yeah, so, you know, Kentrell Bryce has been having this ankle injury. I think it's since the Cincinnati game or maybe Dallas, one of those games he went out. And he aggravated it against New Orleans. If you remember, he looked like he was done for the year when he went down. But they
then he came back.
Yeah, they went and taped it up. And he said after the game that, you know, it's just something he was going to have to deal with. Well, apparently he can't deal with it. And it's probably, you know, some bone spurs or who knows what's in there. But I would guess they put him on injured reserve. I would guess he's going to have surgery. That's my... You don't put a guy on IR just because he has a sprained ankle. To take his place, they brought up Donatello Brown, undrafted corner, who is not going to help him at safety. So he's going to be a special teams guy if he's even active. Jermaine Whitehead will be a guy who would be behind Evans. I think Marwin Evans will pretty much Marwin Evans and Josh Jones will share Bryce's snaps, and I think it'll be Evans when Jones is up at the line of scrimmage.
And then we have a long snapper controversy again.
What a merry-go-round that's been.
Tabor Pepper breaks his foot reportedly in practice on, what was it, Thursday?
Yeah, and did you hear how that happened?
No.
I asked Zuck how it happened, and I said, how does a long snapper break his foot in practice? And he snapped, he was blocking, he was moving, you know, a couple feet to his right, and Aaron Rutkowski landed on his foot, stepped on his foot, and broke it. So
he's gone, he's on injured reserve, and then they bring back Derek Hart, who had been a long snapper for them on, what, two separate occasions this year already?
Yeah, you want me to go through this
timeline? Yeah, go through the timeline.
I went through this timeline. It's incredible. So Brett Good finishes the NFC Championship game. Then they sign Derek Hart on January 27th.
No, Pepper first.
Pepper first. Yes, you're right. Tabor Pepper on January 27th. They say goodbye to Brett Good. Pepper isn't good enough. They sign Derek Hart to compete with him in May. Derek Hart, Pepper, they finally decide they're not going to bring him to training camp. They let him go. Derek Hart's their only long snapper. He has all kinds of trouble in camp, including that god-awful night on family night when Crosby missed like 56 field goals. And then August 22nd, they bring in Good, and both those guys compete, and Good's obviously much better, and they cut Hart. Then Good plays three games, and he injures his hamstring. They put him on IR, do an injury settlement. They bring in Pepper. Pepper breaks his foot. Back comes Derek Hart, you know.
Round and round and round we go.
Yeah, and there is a chance we'll see Brett Good again because he cannot be resigned until 3 weeks past his injury settlement. His injury settlement was 4 weeks. And so then he has to sit out an additional 3 weeks, at least in terms of where the Packers are. So he would be available for the Baltimore game at the soonest. So the Packers will have to go with Hart at least for Detroit and Chicago.
Unless they decide to bring back Jesse Schmidt and just really go in another direction.
Wow, good one.
Schmidt broke his thumb on his very first snap of training camp.
Yeah, that's right.
Two years ago. Well,
what about Rick Lovato? Maybe he'll get cut.
That's true. He's with the Eagles now?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, let's bring them all back. What's Rob Davis doing?
I don't know. He's not here anymore.
He's your buddy.
Something like that.
Yeah, give him a call.
And so the special teams situation could be a little bit fluky for the Packers because Hart's going to be coming in, you know, with essentially one day of practice. Did he practice today, Hart?
Did not.
But he will practice Sunday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sunday, yes.
Okay, so he'll have a very limited amount of time there. And was there any other injury move that we missed?
Actually, no, I take that back. I think he did practice. I didn't see him.
Okay.
But talking to him after the game, he was talking about working with Crosby.
Okay.
Maybe they had a little session when he got here. I don't know.
And was there any other news that we Missed.
Dontell Brown, Ketchel Bryce. Oh, Vin Spiegel was activated.
Yes, there it is.
How could you forget that?
I don't know. I must not be a native Wisconsinite.
Yeah, yeah. So Vin Spiegel was taken off of PUP, which means he'll play. And everything I heard from Dom Capers, he's playing on Sunday.
Monday. From sorry. Scrimmage and special teams,
yes,
you think?
Yes, yes. They're not going to play him a ton, but they need some pass rush help. And right now he offers a little something, you know. They got to figure out a way to get something out of him and something out of Montrevious Adams, who will probably play now that Ricky Jean-Francois has hit the road again.
You know, I think it's true that you and I have the same number of sacks as Chris Odom and Kyler Fackrell combined.
Is that right?
I think we all have zero.
Wow, because no? I think I lost a half sack somewhere.
Oh, okay. Okay. You know what's funny? Speaking of losing a half sack, for all of you that play fantasy football, I'm sure there's tons of you out there that use the ESPN program. And I was sifting through it the other day for my own team, and there was a player on there that was actually projected to get negative points.
Really?
I'd never seen it. It was Trevor Siemian. He was projected to get negative one half point this week. And I thought that was just the funniest, most unnecessary shot at a guy you can possibly take.
Yeah.
Anyway, so let's get back to the matchups a little bit. And, you know, a big one is going to be TJ Lang, you know, the former Packer. We talked about him a little bit the other day. He's going to be going up against this D-line. That's obviously the strength of the Lions' O-line. So where do you see the biggest weakness? How big of an issue is Brian Mahalik at left tackle for them?
It's an issue. I mean, he's not their preferred starter.
And he's a former defensive lineman.
Yeah, Taylor Decker is – they're close to getting him back, but he's not coming back for this game. So, yeah, and Nick Perry needs to have a huge game against him. I mean, Nick Perry needs to dominate. How many weeks removed? He broke his hand against Atlanta. So he's a good
month,
five, six
yeah.
weeks into, you know, it's time for him to show up. And, you know, Matthews will have to get after it, too. He's probably got a tougher matchup with Wagner. But I also think Kenny Clark and Daniels have to work Swanson and Glasgow. That's the ticket to disrupting Detroit.
And what do we think of Jared Aberderis? Like 12 catches, 13, 14?
You know, he could just work it. He might just be working it. We'll see. And Don Barkley, you know, why not make him active too? Bring it, make it a whole.
Your extra lineman
Packers.
At the goal line, you
yeah.
know, just bring him in there to maul against somebody on the edge?
Absolutely.
All right, so let's flip over to the other side of the ball and look at the Lions' defense. You know, I think that for the last couple of years, they've had a pretty solid front with Ezekiel Ansah and Haloti Ngata and Kerry Hyder, another big player for them. Mm-hmm. But Hyder and Ngata are both injured. And so now their front four looks like Anthony Zettel, A'shaun Robinson, the former Alabama player who they drafted, I believe, last season, mm-hmm. Akeem Spence, and Ziggy Ansah, who is not quite what he was at the peak of his career. When
yeah.
you look at those four guys, above average, average, below average, front four.
Well, A'shaun Robinson, if I'm not mistaken, is a first-round pick. First
yep.
or second? In the first round.
And he also threw a nice little punch against the Steelers and got ejected.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I actually think they're pretty good. I watched Zeidel in that Pittsburgh game, and I thought he made some plays. They bring it. Their front seven brings it pretty hard, and they're going to give the Packers' offensive line all they can handle. The Packers are lucky they got their – looks like they'll have their starting five back, and that's gonna mean a lot, and especially on grass. I think they'll be able to slow things down a little bit against Detroit. But, you know, Detroit will keep throwing guys in there. They got Kyrie Thornton, the ex-Packer, you know. Cornelius Washington had a little bit from what I saw against Pittsburgh. It's a challenging front. I like their linebackers, too.
Yeah, I want to get to them in a second. Real quick, I just want to finish up talking about their front against the Packers line. And I think what's going to be an area I want to focus on is how much more, if at all, Hundley stands in the pocket now that he's got five guys in front of him that he can trust. You know, he's going to have the ability, if they protect well, to stand in there and read his progression and make throws. And you know, we're still trying to figure out exactly what McCarthy meant by saying that the drop back game was not what they wanted against the Vikings. And if he stays in the pocket a little bit more, maybe that lends itself to what he was talking about. But do you think that the starting line for the Packers can protect enough against this front from Detroit where Hundley will have the chance to make throws from the pocket on a regular basis?
Yes, I do. I think he's gonna find some nice one-on-one matchups, but I also think they're gonna try to slow the Lions down with some deception. I think Hundley has the ability to do that with some read option, with some fakes, play action stuff. You know, play action may actually work now because Aaron Jones is played so well. So I look for them to do some of that bootleg stuff, some read option, I don't know, a little bit more of the jet sweep stuff they were doing, just to keep Detroit off balance. I think they were doing what Aaron Rodgers does, having Hundley do what Aaron Rodgers does and not highlighting what he does. And the opposition knows what Aaron Rodgers does, but Aaron Rodgers, even if you know what he's going to do, he's
going to do it anyway.
Brett Hundley can't.
Now, to touch on those Lion linebackers, I'll tell you, I really like this bunch too. I've always thought Tahir Whitehead is a good player. I think that it's a guy that might not wow you with any of his measurables or physical traits, but I think the guy plays really, really hard and is physical. And then, boy, their first-round pick, Jared Davis, looks like a player, doesn't
he? Yeah, he's all over the place. And you know what? I really like this Jalen Reeves-Maben. I don't know how much you saw him, but when they had him on the field, man, he was really physical. He can get around, and he didn't play every down, but I thought he really added something too. So, yeah, they got a nice group of linebackers.
And they can run. You know, that's one thing that I think they can really all do is move sideline to sideline. I think I mentioned that on the podcast the other day. And so that, to me, I wonder if Aaron Jones is going to be able to bounce outside as much against this group as he did against, you know, maybe Dallas, who didn't have I'm blanking on their middle linebacker, Sean Lee, and who was dealing with, you know, Jalen Smith, who can't really run anymore after that, you know, horrific injury he had at Notre Dame, or who else did he have a really good game against? Well, even the Saints. I mean, they don't have any speed necessarily in their linebacking core. I think it's going to be an interesting test there. In terms of, you know, their linebackers matching up against Packers tight ends, it doesn't sound like Martellus Bennett's going to play.
Mm-hmm.
So how do they start to utilize Kendricks and Richard Rodgers in terms of receiving and what they can reasonably expect to get out of them in line?
I think this is going to be a game where the tight ends play in line and are not used outside. I think because Detroit is likely to play eight men in the box, you're going to get a lot of one-on-one coverage with your receivers. And I think you just want your receivers on their corners and stop messing around with the tight ends so much in the receiving game. Although I would, if I were them, use Kendricks some. You know, you got to get him in space. He's pretty good in space. But he's also their best blocker with Bennett out. He's a better blocker than Richard Rodgers. So we'll see. I really do think they're going to spread Detroit out and try to do some deception to slow them down and then let their receivers work on the corners and see what they can get done with Hundley. Probably a lot of short stuff, probably a lot of bootleg, a lot of play action, stuff like that.
You look at the secondary for the Lions, and of course the lead man is Darius Slay, their top shutdown corner. Opposite him is Nevin Lawson, and then they mix in DJ Hayden, and Quandre Diggs plays in the slot.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at that group, I think it's probably a little bit above average, and I think Slay is a pretty good corner, probably a top maybe 15 to 20 guy in the league.
I think he might be higher than that.
Okay.
I do.
Do you think he shadows Adams, as you sort of mentioned in your column?
Yes, I think he will.
Okay. Is that going to be something we see a lot the rest of the season?
Yes. I think Adams is the target that you want to stop for Green Bay. And I'm going to write about this for Monday, so be sure you check back. But they got to find a way to get the ball in his hands. He's their most dangerous receiver, and they're not getting it into his hands. They're not really getting it into anybody's hands, but they're especially not. They should be able to get, if anybody, they should be able to get to Adams because he can work the middle, and, you know, he's physical. So that'll be a good matchup, and we'll see where it goes. But, you know, it's going to be incumbent on McCarthy to get Adams some favorable situations and Hundley to get him the ball.
So I went back and I looked at some of the snap counts from the last game against the Saints, and, Randall Cobb's snap count was down. He was only playing in the 60% range, maybe high 60s, which is a little bit low for him. And we didn't see, I think Geronimo Allison was in the single-digit snaps.
Yeah.
We didn't see any Trevor Davis. We didn't see any Jeff Janis. Do you think any of that changes? And some of the role players that, as we talked about last week, are more familiar with Hundley, do you think that because there were some struggles last week, those guys are maybe more likely to at least get a crack on Monday night?
No.
I agree.
I think they go with, they're just going to, Hundley's going to make his chemistry with those starters. And Allison will play because they might go to some spread stuff. But that's it. They're not gonna force feed him into the game.
A player to watch in the back end of the secondary for the Lions is Miles Killebrew. He is sort of their version of a Josh Jones or a Morgan Burnett, a guy that can be a big hitter and play down in the box. And as you said, if they're going to play eight guys in the box, I think he's probably going to be the guy that lurks fairly often down there. And then they got another heck of a safety in Glover Quinn. Mm-hmm. So their back end of the defense is not bad. It's not a bad defense in general.
No, and they got a lot of picks, too. I mean, I think they have 10 interceptions, something like that. So I think it's going to be a challenge.
What do they have? Yeah, 10 picks.
Yeah, 10 picks.
And three of them returned for touchdowns.
Wow. And Quinn has three and Slay has three. So there's your two really good players in the secondary. I think this will be a challenge. I think this is going to be a low-scoring game. I really do. And the Packers are going to have to play better defense than the Lions do. But the Lions play good defense, so we'll see.
Anything else you want to discuss matchup-wise, or should we get to our predictions, which everyone is waiting for?
One person to keep an eye on is their returner, Agnew. He's got some serious quickness. So he's averaging 21.7 on punt returns.
Of course,
he's got an 88-yard TD.
But he's
got
two for touchdowns, yeah.
So they have to keep an eye on him. Their punt coverage has been excellent. So I think they'll probably do a pretty good job of keeping it away from him. But you made a mention also, it's Prater versus Crosby with Derek Hart as a snapper. So.
And they get Sam Martin back, too, their punter, who's back from, I think he started on PUP, maybe?
Yeah, I just read a story that he supposedly dropped a conch shell on his foot.
Really?
When he was on vacation. And he wouldn't admit it that's what it was, but
maybe we can do that to our hands, and then we don't have to write stories.
Yeah, well, first we got to get to the Caribbean.
True, very true.
Yeah, they don't handle those at Lake Michigan.
You don't say. All right, time for the picks. Who are you taking?
I'm going with Green Bay, 24-21.
The shock, the surprise.
You know, I looked this up. The Packers have only been dogs at home against Detroit once since 1991, and this will be the second time that they're dogs. I find that incredible. Now of course they had that massive win streak going against Detroit, but it's gone now. Anyway, I just think home game. Monday night on grass, and Detroit kind of reeling, that the Packers will find some way to. I'm not saying it's going to be pretty, but I think they'll find some way to pull it out.
I can't see it. I just think Stafford's going to be able to move the ball too much. And, you know, you wrote a column earlier in the week. We talked about it, about the issues the Packers defense has. One of them was a red zone defense.
Yeah,
they're not good in the red zone. So if the Lions needed a remedy, this might be it. I think Hundley will play better. I don't think he will play well. And I took the Packers. Just kidding. I took the Lions 27-19. And then I think some real interesting things are set up for the next couple of weeks, if that's true, because then they have a trip to Chicago, where if they were to lose that one, that would be almost the end
that's
of the season.
That's going to be a tough, tough game.
That defense is no joke down there.
No joke whatsoever. And Baltimore has a defense that's really good. They stink offensively.
They also gave up 40 points. They got shut out 40-0 in London. But those London games are weird.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
Well, there you have it. Those are our picks for Monday's game. You have a couple of days to listen to this podcast because it is a Monday night football game. That also means a couple of days to check out all of our stories on JS Online and PackersNews.com. Plug the live blog.
Live blog. Keep it in your mind. If you haven't ever been to it, it's a really good time. Don't come to vent. Come to express intelligence and knowledge of the game, or else you can...
And talk to me at halftime.
That's right. You can get Mike, and I'll tell you what kind of coffee I'm drinking. It's all really exciting stuff. Are we doing a podcast after the game?
Probably. Okay. It's going to be really, really late, but we're going to do it.
All right. We're doing that just for you, so...
Be sure to check that out. First thing Tuesday morning, we'll have another podcast breaking everything down. And until then, we'll talk to you guys soon.
Everybody hurts. Some